Welcome to episode 54 of the Geek Legacy Podcast. We'd like to thank all of our listeners for joining us each and every week. We'd also like to take this opportunity to ask that you please support GeekLegacy.com by clicking on any of our Amazon links before you go shopping. On this week's podcast, David gives us a quick recap of what happened on the sci-fi original movie Sharknado. We also discuss last weekend's box office and explore reasons why Pacific Rim underperformed. Randy has a fun top 10 list for San Diego Comic-Con, and we play a fun game involving superhero theme songs created by yours truly, Justin Kavanagh. We hope you enjoy episode 54 of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Thank you!
Welcome back to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast, and I'm happy to say that we all survived the epic Sharknado, Tara Reid's acting, and the coming apocalypse, so we can bring you all the fun from San Diego Comic-Con next week. But this week, we got a show too, so yay! Here with Justin, wow. Amanda, and Randy.
That sounds so anticlimactic.
I know! We're going to have a good time. We're talking about Sharknado.
It's like next week is going to be great, but this week we're just dropping big steam and deuce.
Randy's got a list, Justin's got a game, and let's start out. Go, Amanda, hit it.
Well, in exciting news today, depending on how you look at it, True Blood was renewed for a seventh season by HBO.
Yeah. Wow. Pass.
I know we all thought that this was the last season, but I guess it's not.
Did we think that?
I thought that the sixth season was
I thought they'd announced it.
It's taken a pretty giant leap from previous seasons, one might even say, to continue with a certain theme tonight that it is jumping the shark.
Sharknado.
So, yeah.
Are you guys watching it? Are we all caught up?
No. I have zero interest.
I am unfortunately all caught up.
Yeah, so am I. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, well. That's enough about that.
Exactly.
Moving on.
I thought they had announced that it was their last season, but I guess I was incorrect. No.
I think it's hilarious. Like, their press release was talking about how it's so critically acclaimed and the numbers are so high, but then we're all like, we can't stand this show. It's kind of dumb.
It's awful.
I mean, I loved the first season. I thought it was great, but, you know.
Well, it's funny, even from like HBO's perspective, like every week Game of Thrones was on, I would get an email from HBO letting us know like this many millions of people watched and it set this record and this record. This is the first True Blood email I've ever gotten. Just that they got renewed for another season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, I thought you canceled.
Huh.
Guess not.
Boring.
Best show on TV.
No way. Newsroom's back. That's a good show.
Did you watch it?
I did.
Was it good?
It was good. I learned today, though, that... I mean, I know you mentioned this last year, that journalists hate the show.
Right.
And I kind of forgot about that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it was so great. And then today I was reading all these reviews, and they were showing, like, different journalists' Twitter feeds talking about how terrible it is. And no,
why do they hate it?
Just because how fake it is, and they're able. Oh. Yeah.
Well, it's a television show, so...
Yeah, what do they want?
Get off your high horse.
If it was real, then it would just be the news and boring.
Right. What's a reality show about making the news? Oh, yeah, the news.
Oh, right, news.
Yeah. I was telling Amanda earlier today that, like, Will McAvoy is my favorite newscaster, and I love everything he says, and I tune in every week to watch the show.
I'm with you on that one.
Oh, I
believe everything he says.
Anything. I want to send him my money so he can run for office.
I would vote for Will McAvoy.
Me too.
In a heartbeat. I would join his campaign trail and hand out buttons.
Ooh.
What else are you going to talk about on television? Oh, right. Under the Dome. I started watching that.
You like it?
More like over the top. Am I right?
Amanda made a pun.
She loves puns.
That should be the title of the reviews.
It's only on the third episode, but I'm already bored to death.
I watched the first, and that was it.
Yeah, I watched the first as well.
It got off to a really good start. Though, I don't know. It just really took a huge misstep towards the end of the second episode, and then the third episode was just like, oh, Jesus, what's going on?
Just a quick comment about the first episode. When we first see the dome descend, and it splits that cow in half. Was anybody else kind of upset that it didn't leave like a blood trail? Whereas when he put his bloody hand up there, the handprint stayed.
Right.
What do you mean it didn't leave a blood trail?
It was just a cow. Well, it's hard to tell because the cow was just kind of pressed up on the other side, so any blood that was there might have been.
Yeah, and it just kind of slid down, but it didn't leave like a trail of blood you would expect to see from sliding down.
Yeah, I think...
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, I think they were too caught up on just the other side hovering there, or looking like it's hovering there.
And, like, the gratuitous shots of the cow, like, they could not get enough of that cow in there.
Right.
They were very impressed with their own special effects for that shot.
Right.
And you could tell.
Like Sharknado.
Oh, God.
I was just like, I don't need to see that. But, like, you don't need to show us this cow split in half. We get it. There's a dome.
So we actually see the, because I haven't watched any episodes, so we actually see the dome come down. It's not like they wake up one morning and it's there.
Correct.
Right.
Oh. Like The Simpsons, a bunch of helicopters bring it in.
I mean, I haven't read the book, so I don't really know how things go in the book, but I have read that Stephen King says that basically the only thing that the two things share is a name and some of the characters' names. Like, nothing that's, like, it doesn't really follow the book. But, I mean, as far as certain character decisions go with the writing, I just think they're just trying to pack too much stuff in there. They should have really just focused on the interactions of people who are stuck together for, like, the foreseeable future with no way out. But they're just trying to pack in too much supernatural stuff with, like, people acting weird and then, like, people becoming psychotic and stuff like that. And it's just...
Pass.
It's not appealing to me, yeah.
Is that it?
Is yeah, all you got? It.
All the end of the dome? It sounds amazing. As someone who hasn't watched a single episode, I can't wait to...
The first episode was really good. They should have just stopped there.
Oh, yeah? Is that the consensus? Mm-hmm. Did you guys think the first episode was good?
She just made it a miniseries. Yeah. Stopped there.
It was okay. I mean, it was good enough to the point where I didn't watch the second episode, so what does that say? And that's coming from somebody that actually genuinely cares about anything that Lapidus from Lost does.
Like Lawnmower Man.
Yeah. I genuinely care.
You care so much, you know him as Lapidus from Lost.
I call him Chesty, because that's what Sawyer called him.
And Chesty?
Yeah, he called him Chesty, because he always had his shirt unbuttoned. Yes.
Marvelous chest hair.
Like, when I was rewatching Lost last year, and the first episode that he was on, I was like, hey, Chesty! It just came out of nowhere. I hadn't said that in... What, a couple of years?
Yeah.
That's totally what I remembered him as. So, I'm shallow.
That's alright. It happens.
Moving on. Well, there's more on TV. Sharknado, right? Didn't you want to talk about that? Or did we not?
I don't even know what that is.
What? Oh.
Like, I was listening to you guys, but I was like, I have no idea what this is that they're talking about.
Well.
We brought it up last week.
Yeah, we talked quite a bit about it last week, actually.
Sorry. Was I there? I don't remember this at all.
Let me tell you a little ditty about Sharknado here.
Okay. Let's
get around the campfire and talk Sharknado. Sharknado is a made-for-sci-fi movie that aired on Thursday and changed the world.
Oh, well, it's a movie. It's not a TV show.
Well, it was on the TV box there.
Made-for-TV.
Okay. The made-for-TV movie. It's like... Does TV, it does film, it's by entertainment. I'm going to patent that word. So Sharknado follows Ian Ziering, whose claim to fame is being Steve Sanders on the original 90210 for 10 years. Boy hasn't done anything since, and he's the main character in Sharknado. His character's name, cleverly, is Finn, because his last name is Finny, but everyone calls him Finn. Get it? Sharks. Finn. It's funny. You'll get it
oh
later.
Oh my God!
Wait, quick side note. He is also doing a Chip and Dale show in Las Vegas right now.
What?
No way.
Yes. So he's not entirely out of work, FYI.
It's random.
Chip and Dale. Don't ask how I know that.
So the other star, quote unquote, of this film is everybody's favorite train wreck, Tara Reid, who shows
She's
up.
Still around.
Yeah, she doesn't appear in the film until minute 26. And then she doesn't appear again. She shows up in minute 26 to say eight words of dialogue and then disappears completely until minute 46, where she shows up and shows us that in a film made by Asylum for the Sci-Fi Network, fill it with terrible actors who couldn't even get a gig on soap operas. They act circles around Tara Reid, who delivers quite possibly the worst performance by a human or animal. I'd say the
I like her. I thought she was really good.
You lying sack of shit. I think the elephant in Bill Murray's Larger Than Life, or even the one in Ray Liotta's Operation Dumbo Drop, I think those elephants acted better than Tara Reid. Nay, I say the CGI sharks that looked terrible acted better than Tara Reid, because at least they ate things.
I thought she did really well, and I hope and pray that Sharknado boosts her career.
You
fine young woman.
Yes, she is.
Uptown all,
town all the way.
Not really. She got those booby scars. Remember the when they?
Like, I think it's her stomach that's scarred, not so much her breasts.
I think it was. I saw the pictures. It looked like booby scar.
Wait, what?
Man, she's got like permanent bitch face though, so I just can't get over that. She was scowling the entire movie.
Yeah, and she's got a kid who's like 3 years younger than her.
Yeah.
She was born in 1975.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows?
What do you know?
So anyway, so Finn, aside from you know, catching waves and like, you know, shredding with his buddy on the jet ski, he runs a bar restaurant on the pier. And when all of a sudden, just an influx of like hundreds of sharks inexplicably just take over their beach and start eating people in like 1 foot. Like there's a guy who's standing in water like up to like mid shin, and he gets eaten by a shark. Like he's standing.
He didn't even see.
Yeah, he didn't even see it, and he can't get out. And you know, Ian's here, Finn's buddy, he gets bit, and you know, it doesn't seem to faze him at all. And at one point, I'm pretty sure that Ian Ziering outswam a shark. Like there's one scene where he's trying to get away from a shark, and he's actually faster than the shark. But it's neither here nor there. He gets to his bar, sharks start flying through his window because the hurricane force winds are knocking sharks on the pier. People are getting eaten and smashed all over the place. And yeah, here's where they miss the very first shark tie-in they should have had. One of them throws a canister of air into the shark's mouth, and Ian Ziering shoots it, and it blows up. But they didn't say, smile, you son of a bitch. And I sat there yelling at my TV. It was the biggest, the very first shark thing. But later on, they made
it. Wait, do you remember when we were doing that game at work with, like, the AFI quotes? And Randy was, like, naming the movie, and we had to try and guess what the famous quote was. It got to Jaws, and I'm like, smile, and you guys are looking at me like I'm the biggest idiot because they wouldn't say that on AFI.
We need to get a bigger boat.
Yep, that was the quote.
Yeah,
you dumbass.
David shook his head at me when he said that.
I haven't even seen Jaws, and I know that's.
Oh man! Oh. But then Randy started leaving voicemails on her phone, like, "Ah, you son of a bitch!"
It's not. If any of us are ever mad, it's usually one of next. Guys.
Oh, but Dave, you should have said that it's the movie where a hurricane drops sharks, and then I would have remembered.
Oh yeah, there you go.
That was the takeaway that I took from our conversation last week.
Okay. So, anyways, they don't make the Jaws joke, but later on they make a couple other terrible Jaws jokes about we're gonna need a bigger helicopter and shark goes in the water. But that's not. We'll skip past that. Finn gets his son. And they decide that the only way to beat these tornadoes is that a tornado is hot air and cold air combining. So if they make homemade bombs and get in a helicopter and throw the bombs into the tornado, it'll dissipate the tornado. You heard me right. So
let's blow up the tornado.
Well, because it's going to okay. I won't even get into it. It's fake. I was going to argue pro bomb, but I'm not going to.
No, Justin, I would love for you to argue pro bomb real quick.
Oh, science.
So while Finn and Tara Reid's son is making homemade bombs with, you know, a coworker hot chick of Finn, Tara Reid and Ian Ziering have this moment where they find chainsaws and they decide that chainsaws are how they're going to combat the sharks. So they go up in the so Finn's son and the girl who works with Finn go up in the helicopter to throw the bombs into the Sharknadoes. They throw the bomb in the first Sharknado, destroys the Sharknado, but all the sharks are now falling down. And so with dual pistols, Ian Ziering is down there like picking off sharks as they're falling out of the sky. Like it's ridiculous. They go to the second Sharknado. They take out the second Sharknado. Everyone's like, yeah, we're going to beat these sharks. Bomb goes in the third one, misfires. It blows up too early. Sharknado is still there. And now the gale force winds are throwing sharks at the helicopter. Shark latches on to the little bar thing at the bottom of the helicopter and is chomping at the bit. And so the lady decides she's going to stab him with her Bowie knife. So she stabs it like 3 times in the head and falls out of the helicopter into the waiting mouth of another great white shark. So she gets eaten midair from this great white shark. Swallow whole. Poor girl is a mess. And so Ian Ziering now has a plan that, oh man, this Sharknado is going to kill all the old people in this retirement home. So everyone goes to the retirement home, gets all the old people inside. Ian Ziering gets in this like pimped out little Humvee with a bunch of bombs in it. Kicks it into high gear, driving straight for the Sharknado. Arms the bombs, looks at the Sharknado, gives the hang loose sign, hits the nitrous, jumps out. Humvee goes in, blows up the Sharknado, and now Sharknadoes are defeated. But it's still raining sharks, and all of a sudden Ian Ziering looks up and he sees his daughter in the distance, and he's like, babe, we're going to be safe, come give me a hug. But then he sees there's a shark on a direct course to get his daughter. And rather than saying, hey, move 10 feet to the left, he looks at Tara Reid. Tara Reid kicks over a cart with a chainsaw in it. He revs it up, runs towards the shark, and dives headfirst into the thing's mouth. And so you're like, oh my God, Finn is dead. What's going on? Poor Finn, I can't believe he's dead. And then you hear like the muffled, and then the chainsaw pierces the shark and cuts a gash. And Ian Ziering walks out and he's all happy. And everyone's like, yay, yay. But he doesn't look happy. And it's like, he's like, I got something. It looks, gives you that look like, I got something else to do. He goes back to the shark, reaches in, and pulls the girl out who got swallowed whole. And she's totally fine. So they give her like 2 seconds of mouth-to-mouth, and she's totally fine. Credits.
Yeah, he jumps into the shark's mouth, like with the chainsaw outstretched at the end of his arms, running full speed, and managed not to hit the other girl that was inside the shark. He cuts himself out of the shark. And pulls her out.
Tail.
And keep in mind, there's all these sharks, and he just happened to jump in the same one that this chick was in.
Who was eaten after falling out of a helicopter. I don't know if you caught that part in there.
Oh, yeah, totally, he did. And like, and how like 10 minutes had passed.
Yeah.
It's still the same.
I was shocked that she got eaten. I'm like, oh, she's kind of a major character. I thought she was
Yeah,
gonna, like,
I was impressed.
Interest.
Yeah, I was impressed that they got rid of her.
Ugh.
But no.
Oh my God, like it was, and Twitter just exploded on this movie. Like everyone was just, you know, whether you were like me, who actually, I enjoyed it for what it was, you know, I got a kick and a giggle out of it. I'm never going to watch it again, or I wouldn't recommend it to someone who doesn't think like I do, but people were all up in arms and it's furious, or other people were like, this is the greatest movie ever. And I don't remember, one of you was saying something about like tweets per minute. Was it you, Randy?
Yeah, like 20,000 tweets per minute. Just insane.
Let's move on.
Do we have to?
Yes. What else we got, Dave?
I wanted to, you know, briefly talk, you know, since I didn't briefly talk about the last subject. You would probably cut it all out. Briefly talk about the box office. I know I saw Pacific Rim. I don't know. And I know Randy saw Pacific Rim. And Justin, you saw it, right?
Uh-huh.
I won't waste my time asking Amanda saw it because I know she doesn't watch movies.
I don't have any money.
What did you think, Justin? What did you think of Pacific Rim?
That's okay. I honestly don't think I ever need to watch it again. It kind of felt like, I don't know, for some reason I had like this MTV vibe. I don't know if you guys felt that way too.
MTV?
But yeah, like just like this hard rock playing and it's yeah, monsters and fighting, it's cool. That's kind of what I felt like the whole time. And I wasn't always into it. In fact, I got kind of bored a couple of times, but I really liked the Electric Gorilla. He kind of brought me back into the movie.
Yeah.
And then for the next Gaiju, when he had like that big old like cruising ship or whatever he's using as a bat.
Yeah.
I was totally like, batter up, all like Back to the Future style. I really thought that was cool. And even when it took like flight, I was like, okay, now this movie's going somewhere. But I definitely got bored, and I enjoyed it for what it was, but I really don't ever have to see it again.
Yeah, I think I have a similar opinion that, you know, I probably don't need to buy it on, like, Blu-ray or something like that. But I love the shit out of the first ride it gave me. Like, it in a way, it reminded me of what a blockbuster can be if handed to the right director. And I always flash back to Man of Steel because I give Zack Snyder so much shit because he has so much wasted stuff. Like Pacific Rim, like, every shot was like beautiful. Like every shot you could tell was painstakingly crafted. You know, it was, it may have been a couple minutes too long, but I don't necessarily think that's the case. They're going to have a, they're not going to have a director's cut. There's like a, over an hour of footage they cut out. They're going to release as deleted scenes on the Blu-ray, but it just, it was a visually stunning movie, and it, I hadn't had a reaction to a movie like that since I saw the first Transformers, to see what visual effects can take us to now. Like, it was amazing in my eyes, visually.
Good for you.
False.
I applaud your I applaud your review.
That was mostly Jess's review, but I just agreed with her. The reason I wanted to bring up Pacific Rim was that it underperformed at the box office. You know, people were expecting it to make, you know, between $50 and $60 million this weekend, and it only made $37 million of its $190 million budget. And so I was looking up the box office grosses for the entire year, and all, you know, because, you know, we're critics, you know, we hear, you know, people say all we want is original ideas. We
I don't judge anything, Dave.
You do. We want new ideas. We're tired of sequels and remakes and rehashes and reboots and all this nonsense. But if you look at the box office, that's all people are going to see. You know, the real quick, the yearly box office to date right now, number one is Iron Man 3, Man of Steel, Monsters University, Fast and Furious 6, Oz the Great and Powerful, Despicable Me, Star Trek Into Darkness. It's not until you get to number 8 in the Croods that you get to an original idea. Everything else above it is a sequel. Sequel, prequel, reboot, whatever you want to call it. Even after that, you go to World War Z, based off a book. Great Gatsby is a, you know, a rehash. Then you get to Identity Thief. Then you get to G.I. Joe as a sequel. You get to Hangover 3 as a sequel. Then you get to The Heat. Then you get to just, it's just sequel after prequel after rehash after reboot. And I want to know what you guys thought of. Do people really want something new? Or is it just that the something new we're getting is no good?
Amanda, go.
Well, I guess I would say the something new that we're seeing that are the big Hollywood movies aren't really that good, because we were talking earlier and we were comparing like Oblivion, After Earth, Lone Ranger. I guess the Lone Ranger is technically a reboot, but I'm not really sure even why they did it, because who cares about the Lone Ranger? But After Earth, nobody likes it. Everyone thinks it's crazy and ridiculous, probably because M. Night Shyamalan just couldn't keep his hands off of it. And then Oblivion is an okay movie. I mean, I liked watching it, but I'd never watch it again. And it's so full of sci-fi cliches. Like, I'd much rather watch the movies that it's ostensibly, you know, honoring, quote unquote, which is, you know, I think the director's excuse for not coming up with something original. But like, even Oblivion's not really original. It like blatantly steals from like Independence Day and like any sci-fi movie that includes any kind of science fiction element.
Well, I mean, like, that's just it. What does it take to be an original these days, right? Everything's, like Randy said the other day, it was like everything's just a rehash of previous work. And it's, mm-hmm. I don't get where you draw the line where something is, in fact, original.
Well, I would say something not just purely, I mean, like take The Heat, for example. I mean, a lot of comedies are original.
That's a buddy cop movie, though.
But, I mean, it's not based off any other work. I mean, to where, you know, Great Gatsby was made into a movie before, you know.
And it was a book.
What?
Yeah, how about that?
and it was a book. So, I mean, there's clearly a succession of things that it's based on. To where, you know, The Heat, you know, it's got a formula. You know, it's an 80s era buddy cop movie with profanity and over-the-top characters. But it's ostensibly its own film. It's not based on, if anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe people just don't want to take a chance on seeing a new.
There are plenty of original movies being made. They just don't make a ton of money.
Right, but I mean, Iron Man 3 is a sequel based off of Piper the comic. It's got $406 million domestically.
Right, Amanda. That's Dave's argument: is that people complain they want the original stuff, but then no one goes to see it. They only go see the sequels and rehashes.
Yeah, right.
Maybe it's just they don't feel comfortable. They don't want to spend their money on it, because what if it sucks?
Right, but I mean, I agree. I think that's the case. It's just, I mean, when you hear people complain about film, other than, you know, the price, that it's too expensive to see a film, it's usually that, you know, there's nothing new to see. Everything is just like a remake or a sequel, you know. But those same people are, that's all they're doing, is they're going out and they're watching Iron Man 3, they're watching Man of Steel, they're watching Monsters University. And that's not saying they're not good movies, except for Man of Steel, but they're just not watching the new stuff, people taking chances, you know, Guillermo del Toro, Pacific Rim, you have, you know, Joe Kaczynski with, you know, Oblivion, you know, so on and so forth. You have White House Down, you have Olympus Has Fallen, you have these movies that are, you know, they're trying to do something new. Take Pain and Gain. I mean, Pain and Gain is a Michael Bay-directed movie starring Mark Wahlberg and Dwayne Johnson, two of the biggest stars in Hollywood, with probably one of the most powerful directors in Hollywood. And, I mean, Pain and Gain's only made $49 million.
What did that one movie make with Tom Hanks and Halle Berry, done by the Wachowski?
Oh, Cloud Atlas?
Cloud Atlas.
It was depressing. It made like, I want to say, like $38 million.
Oh.
Something depressing.
Is that original or is that a book first?
It's based on a book. Yeah. But it's a very, I think the movies like Cloud Atlas and then the more successful Life of Pi, those movies, while based off of a novel, are very unique visual films. They took a chance, and in one case it succeeded, in one case it, you know, floundered horrifically. But it's still a great movie, Cloud Atlas.
Just doesn't make a lot of sense.
I just want good movies.
Movies are being made. They're just not being promoted by the whole Hollywood machine. And we don't find out about them until we hear about them from other people who loved them. You know?
I'll get off my soapbox. The indie scene is dead, too. I mean, there's a
couple. Oh, is it?
It just seems like... I mean, I like sequels. I like remakes and stuff. I just wish people would live up to what they say.
Well, you know what?
I mean, this isn't... Mm-hmm.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say this isn't, like, the greatest example, but, I mean, Cabin in the Woods, I thought, was a really good original take on the whole, you know, kids going into the forest and horror movie type thing. And, I mean, I got the impression that a lot of people liked it, but I'm not sure that it actually did super well at the box office, did it?
It did okay for a horror movie.
Yeah, I mean, it cost like 6 cents to make, and, you know, it probably made quite a bit, I'm sure.
I saw it in the theater.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. But what? I went to see it because Thor was in it.
You do like that.
So, what does that tell you about me? That's just how I do things.
Right. So, yeah, it just seems that unless you're Pixar or DreamWorks Animation, you're not really taking a chance on a movie. And I understand that studios don't want to hit singles. You know, like The Heat, you know, is going to make that studio $100 million. And, you know, that seems like a lot to us, but the studio sees it as, well, we took all these people, put them on this project, and it made us $100 million, to where if we put 50% more people on there, we can make the next Avengers, and we can make $1 billion. And so it seems like the only films getting greenlit are the $20 to $25 million movies and the ones over $100 million. And the ones that are in the middle, that are probably the ones that like would most satisfy audiences, are the ones that are getting left in the wayside. I've whined and complained and said enough nonsense, I'll get cut.
Oh, you know what? The Evil Dead remake's coming out on Blu-ray tomorrow. But you know what? It's not going to have a director's cut, which is a shame, because there was all this publicity about, oh my god, it's getting an X rating from the MPAA. Like, it's too offensive and too gory and too graphic. So I think all of the fans were thinking that there was going to be a director's cut, and there is not.
Really?
That upsets me. In fact, I'm going to ask Mr. Fetty when we see him at Comic-Con. What's up with that?
Be like, the movie, his answer will be, well, I felt that the movie you saw in the theater was my director's cut.
Yeah.
Putting money on it now, guys. It's my five right there. Mm. Internet five. I'm good for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. That just seems weird, don't you think?
Absolutely.
I mean, obviously, he has the opportunity, or at least the studio has the opportunity to make money off of this one, and then whatever, maybe like a Halloween release director's cut. But who knows?
You know. The Shadow knows.
Oh, you know how Universal does like those crazy mazes, kind of like Knott's Berry Farm at Halloween? Mm-hmm. They're doing one for Evil Dead. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm too scared to go in those things.
Yeah. I got scared once at a Not Scary Farm. There was one where it was like this hillbilly house, and I fucking hate hillbillies, and it totally just got under my skin. There was like this chainsaw and barbed wire and the whole parts and jars thing, and it was just totally out of one of my nightmares, and I made the Lord very nervous.
Yeah, I don't do mazes. Especially because I'm the guy, so my wife always makes me go first. And all I want to do is like, no, take her! She screams! But no.
Yeah.
And then I got to pretend I'm like not scared, like I'm a tough guy. Like, I'm not scared. This guy's going to come on the court. I don't care. I might just ninja kick him.
You got to wrap your sweater around the front of your pants.
That's right. They hop out, and I'm like, ah!
You got a list, Randy?
I got a couple different fun lists we can go with today.
Pick one.
They're all about Comic-Con. So I'm going to kind of combine a couple of lists for you guys. Right. And I think this is going to help all of us and anyone who's listening who is going to be attending San Diego Comic-Con. Because this is going to be ways to really not only inform you about its past, but better prepare you for how to deal with the nerd flu and just getting around in crazy cramped environments. That's just like basically dealing with 130,000 people. So, in fact, this list is so different, I'm not even going to give it to you in list form, in numbered form. I'm just going to throw some shit at you.
Whoa.
See what sticks.
Mind blown, Randy.
Guys know when Comic-Con first started?
30 years ago.
Nope.
1970.
It's close.
And pretty much it was in a coat closet and has been getting bigger ever since.
Now, back then, did they actually have comics there and talk about comics?
Back then, it was pretty much all comics. Very little anything else. And it was just a lot of artists hanging out and just people peddling their wares. Mm-hmm. And I sincerely doubt there were even any movies hanging around there. So, little fun fact, this year's Comic-Con sold out in 93 minutes.
Wow.
Slackers, what took so long?
Seriously. And those were for people who could actually even get through on the Comic-Con website to buy their tickets. That's not including everybody who was sitting there during those 93 minutes spamming F5 hoping that they're going to be able to buy their damn tickets but couldn't.
Snapping it off.
How many seats do you guys think there are inside Hall H?
6,500.
Exactly right on the money. Did you guys know there's actual cosplay etiquette, especially for those taking photos of fanboys and girls dressed up in their geek finest? It's generally considered not cool to just snap off pictures, but to ask them politely, can I take your photo? Because you know what? They're dressed up cool like that for a reason. Chances are they want to have their photo taken. They just don't want to do it when they have a big old hot dog hanging out of their mouth or something like that where they look very unflattering. So just ask, and you never know what you might find out. Mm. They'll pull out an extra cool little bit for you to pose with. You never know. And I'm not talking about naughty bits.
I like to take pictures of them when they're like on the cell phone.
Yeah.
I like to get pictures of Wolverine talking on his cell phone or someone. I'm weird.
I like it when costumes have like big old masks or helmets or something like that, that they pop off the helmet and have the cell phone going.
Yeah.
It's like going to Disneyland and imagine seeing like Mickey Mouse around the corner in the back where you're not supposed to be able to see him and he's got his head off and there's this teeny tiny little pinhead of a human head poking out the top and sitting there talking on the cell phone, smoking, drinking some coffee or something that's just so far removed from what a Disney character would do.
I took a picture back when Vegas had the Star Trek experience. I took a picture of a Klingon at an ATM.
Hmm.
That's awesome.
My claim to fame. The internet famous now.
Klingons all look the same to me. Just throwing that out there.
That is racist.
It definitely is.
Comic-Con's pretty much all about choosing your own battles because, as you guys were mentioning before, if you really are dead set on getting into certain panels, especially ones in Hall H, it's pretty much going to just torpedo an entire day just waiting in line for it. So you really have to plan out, take the time, look to see what panels are going when and where, and plan out where you want to be and how much time you're willing to devote to it. And keep in mind that it's going to be lots of long hours, lots of standing in line, and lots of just waiting around. So hopefully you're not so antisocial that you won't talk to others around you, because that's actually a really good way to kill time. It's just kind of chit chat with people waiting in line around you. You know, you might make a new friend, a new pen pal, or, you know, a new F buddy. You never know. So the moral of the story is, talk to that person next to you, especially if she's a redhead. Because you all know about redheads.
Oh, do I.
This guy knows what I'm talking about. All right.
Sorry, was I this guy?
It doesn't matter. You can be.
Because I had to step away for a second. I had to put my cat up.
Oh, okay.
And then I came back to this guy knows what I'm talking about. And then there was silence. I was like, oh, shit, was I the guy? Yes, I do know what you're talking about.
Definitely bring a buddy in line. It definitely helps.
Oh, for sure. And this is another thing. I mean, and we experienced it once last year to a degree that I didn't even know was possible. And I have a huge personal space issue. I like having a little cushion of air around me. And generally, like when you go to the movies too, it's kind of the same. You like to maybe sit so that there's an empty seat between you and the group next to you, that kind of thing. So you can spread out and just – it's kind of not cool to do that in any of the convention halls really, because – those things get so packed down and every single seat could be used. So if you're kind of the dick that needs a little buffer zone between you and the neighbor, granted, I know it's been a while. You've been at Comic-Con for a couple days and everybody kind of starting to stink. But you know what? You probably smell just as bad as your neighbor. So just snuggle in and embrace the stank and just make room for everybody to file in. Because, I mean, the whole thing is everybody wants to get there to be part of something huge and to represent the shows or the movies or the comics they love. So just let everybody in. Just, you know, make room for your fellow man.
Or just grab an aisle seat if you can.
Yeah, you know. Even stand in the back if they let you. Whatever the fire marshal will let you get away with. But here's the other thing that I was referring to also about personal space. If you exit the con right as it ends at like 6 o'clock, you are going to stand in the most ridiculous quagmire of shoulder to shoulder, dick to ass, that you can possibly imagine. Talk about your huddled masses. I mean, these people, it is palpable. There is like the humidity. If you were to just take readings of the humidity, anywhere from like 6 feet and below, there's just like sweat in the air, just body warmth and wetness, and just embrace it, love it. Breathe through your mouth, not through your nose, and just get over it, because you know what? After 10 or 15 minutes of being in that crowd, it will pass.
I like that you quoted the dedication of the Statue of Liberty there. About 100 masses.
Yeah. Two pretty points. Sure I got to end it there because I don't think I can top that. But anyway, just go with it. And don't overdo anything, whether it's the free booze at any of the parties that you go to or anything. Just pace yourself, take it in moderation, because you remember, you got to make it through 4.5 days, including the preview night. You got to make it through 4.5 days of that stuff, and you don't want to blow your load too early.
Drink lots of water.
Yeah.
And wheatgrass. Somebody once told us, ropey loads.
I was going to say ropey loads.
Speaking of Finn.
Wrong Finn.
Oh.
Nah, that's always the right Finn. Fine list, Randy.
Excellent.
Yay.
You should write a survival guide to Comic-Con.
I would, but I don't listen to my own advice, and I never survive every year. I'll, like, pass out on the third day.
Cool. Fine list.
Love it.
Amanda, what was your favorite part?
The part about pacing yourself.
Yeah. So we have a game.
We like games.
We do have a fun game. It's probably going to be terrible, but you'll just have to bear with me.
Now, is the superhero the one singing, or is this a theme for the superhero?
This is a theme for the superhero. You have to guess who the hero is based on my lyrics. Now, I spent all of 2 minutes trying to come up with each one of these theme songs. So
they better rhyme.
Some of them do. So let me get through it, and then you can ask if you don't know it. I'll ask, does anybody else know this song? Or does anybody, who wants to guess? And then you guys can just chime in.
With our names or the answer?
What's the question?
If we don't, if it goes to the general populace, are we yelling name or answer?
Just know that you yell the answer. That's fine.
Perfect.
All right. Are we ready?
Ready.
Ready,
David,
ready.
David, you are first.
Can't wait.
All right. Fishy, fishy, gonna fist your face.
Aquaman.
Very good.
Yeah. On the board.
On the board. David knows one.
Oh, God.
All right. Amanda, are you ready?
Okay.
All right. Number two. Laser beams, shooting shit with my red laser beams.
Cyclops.
Very good. This is fun, right?
Very good, fun.
Good times.
I just want to listen to you sing more.
All right, Randy, are you ready?
I am ready.
You'll get the gist when my fist be smashing yo shit.
Hulk.
Very good.
Yay. We're all on the board. Yeah. This is a fun game. We're all scoring.
David.
Yeah, really.
Ready.
David, are you ready? Okay.
Ready.
Oh my god, this is a hard one. This one's a little bit longer.
Sweet.
Okay. All right. My big red boots be like, oh, on your face. Boy, you best watch your mouth before I throw you into space.
Superman.
Very good.
That is your best one yet.
Okay. This is a lot of work now. Okay. Amanda, are you ready?
We appreciate the work you put into it.
Okay. I'll have my butler show you out. Bitch, I'm rich. No.
Batman.
You had me at bitch, I'm rich.
Okay, Amanda 2, David has 2, Randy has 1, still gotta go. All right, Randy, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. I bring the thunder to the room, shucking fools until the bitches go boom.
I might need to hear that again.
Okay. I bring the thunder to the room, shucking fools until the bitches go boom.
Storm?
Very good.
All right.
What? I would have went Thor. I thought it was Thor.
Yeah, I was thinking Thor.
It's a trick one. Never know.
I think there were two answers on that one. I think Justin wants to keep it tied.
I have it Storm. No joke. I couldn't even think of anything that rhymed with Thor or like how to do it because I was thinking more along his mallet or his hammer as opposed to...
There were no references to toads, so it couldn't have been Storm. Storm is only attacks toads.
Anyway, everyone has 2. You're all doing very, very well.
Yay!
Okay, David, it's your turn.
We know our superhero raps.
Oh, God. Okay, this is another long one. Okay. Y'all rise for the honorable judge with the helmet and the gun. Bitch, you did the crime. Now you're gonna do the time.
Judge Dredd.
Very good.
He is the law.
Yes, he is. David with 3. Oh, man.
Duh.
I wasn't counting on all you guys to get these right.
That means you're doing a good job, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
That means that your artistry is shining through.
No,
your
but
hints are good hints.
It's all going to be a tie because I won't have enough for a tiebreaker. Amanda, are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. He's the man snapping photos when he can. Web swinging down the road with his hands.
Spider-Man.
Okay, Randy, are you ready?
I am ready.
Randy, if you can pull this off, it'll be a 3-way tie, because there's no tiebreaker. You'll just all be excellent, and that's all there is to it. Whoosh, I'm freaking fast, running round and round, faster than the speed of sound.
Flash.
Very good. That's the wrong Flash.
I know. Great game.
All right, pick a number between 1 and 10.
9.
7.
5.
It was 9.
I know your body, dude.
That just happens to be my favorite number.
I know. That's why I picked it. Why?
That was rigged.
David.
Bullshit.
I have a jersey. a personalized Cavender Ducks jersey that is number 9, because that is my lucky number.
And I know that about you. I pay attention. I listen.
Yeah, there you go.
I agree with Randy. This is rigged.
No, it's not. You guys pick the order, and you got to pick your number. Ipso facto, I'm your boss.
What a great game. I hope that returns. You know what? I think I might do a variation on that in a week or two.
Do it. It's hard.
I bet it is.
And you guys know that I like to come up with little 2-second songs. That's kind of what I do.
I'm always singing to my kids, like making up just crap as I go. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get Star Wars themed.
Oh, cool.
One of them will end with acid spitting lightsabers.
I like
which remind me, when we were watching Pacific Rim, both Randy and I were like, that one spit acid.
I'm all, Justin's going to love that one.
Well, that does it for this week's podcast. We'd like to thank all of our listeners for joining us each and every week. Please like us on Facebook and follow us on the Twitter there at Geek Legacy. You can tune into our other podcasts that we have on the site. There's the Pixelated Podcast, which is hosted by Stephen Janes, and it's all about video games. And we also have the Comic Corner, hosted by Tyler and Jeff. They review comic books currently on their pull list. Visit geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. Thank you.